Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to this new episode of the Geek Town Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm your host, Dave Elliott, and on this episode, I'm chatting with Kevin Matley, composer on the film Concrete Cowboy, which is available to watch right now on Netflix UK and worldwide. The movie stars Caleb McLaughlin as Cole, a troubled teen who is sent to live with his estranged father, played by Idris Elba, for the summer and finds himself caught between a life of crime and his father's vibrant urban cowboy subculture. The film is based on the novel Ghetto Cowboy by Gene Neary, but these urban riders actually do exist in areas of Philly and Brooklyn in the USA. It's a really odd and wonderfully interesting film. I really urge you to go and watch it. It's on Netflix right now. For the film's score, Kevin purposely worked with a smaller orchestra and only had them record one or two takes in order to expose the humanity within the playing. In order to amplify the intensity for some of the heightened scenes, he picked up everyday objects such as buckets and bottles and frying pans for the percussionist to use, adding this raw element to his ambient score. If you'd like to hear more behind the scenes interviews, don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast by searching for Geek Town Radio. This gives you our weekly Geek Town Radio podcast, which brings you all the latest TV, film and gaming news. You can also go to the website at geektown.co.uk for daily news stories and all the latest UK and US TV premiere dates. Here's the interview with Kevin Matley, composer on the film Concrete Cowboy, available now on Netflix. Thank you for coming on and chatting for a little bit about your work and this new film you have out.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Have you been working through the pandemic on this, or was it something that you started pre-pandemic?
We actually finished the dub stage, which is the final step in the process, right before all the shutdowns started to happen. It's funny, actually, my flight home from Burbank to Seattle was almost empty because people were starting to get that sort of, you know, awareness of what was going on.
Right.
And then when I got home, everything kicked into full gear.
Yeah, I was actually out in LA just in February. So literally before I landed, and then about 3 days later, everything got locked down. It was just nuts over here. So before we get into talking about the film specifically, how about we get a bit of background about you? How did you get started in the industry?
Yeah, well, my name's Kevin Matley. I'm a film composer. I've been doing this for about 10, 11 years now. I got started because I was actually producing bands before I was writing music for film.
Ah.
And this film company contacted a band that I produced, and this production company and this creative lead, Jeff Taylor, who still to this day is a dear friend of mine. He has this commercial that he wants this artist to write music for, and was like, hey, I love this record that you made. And the artist, he didn't have to do this, but he told them that, hey, this other guy, Kevin, who produced this record of mine, actually wrote a lot of the string arrangements and everything that you really like about it. And so the artist I produced was like, well, how about Kevin and I collaborate on it and we'll write it together. And so that was kind of my first job, was with this artist that I had produced, and then this guy, Jeff Taylor, who works for this film production company. And it was a really beautiful commercial for LL Bean, and it didn't pay much, but it was awesome because it was like the first time I had written music in a long time versus just producing bands and kind of helping arrange right. songs with people. There's to me, it was really cool kind of merging story and music for the first time. And I had always kind of had this sort of sense of awe of like music and story, and watching films as a kid and starting to like pick up on music and when it was happening and why it was happening and the effect it was having on me as the viewer. And so to finally be in that space where you're like, oh, I get to actually do this now. This is so cool. It was just such a blast. And so I think from there, I just sort of realized this is probably where my my real like true love of music lies. And so I kind of did a career shift from there and just kept doing music for film from there on out, basically just trying to gather as many clientele as I could and getting, you know, just different ads and short films and anything I could get my hands on and just build my clientele base from there.
Yeah. And you've done documentaries and stuff before, but this is your first dramatic feature, isn't it? I think.
Yes, it is. I did a short film with Ricky, the director of Concrete Cowboy, Ricky Staub. That was my first narrative short. And then this would be the first feature. Yeah. Everything else has been documentary.
It's a crazy project to get involved with because it's based off a true story as well, which it seems bizarre given the subject matter of it, because it's about these urban horse riding cowboys, essentially. It's a really strange but lovely story. I saw the film last week sometime and I really, really enjoyed it. And Idris Elba obviously is brilliant, as Idris Elba always is, as well as the rest of the cast. How did you come to approach the music for it?
Yeah. I mean, just to touch on one thing you said, like, I think everybody's reaction when they hear this is like, what in the world? And that's kind of amazing too, because we're exposing this little portion of American culture that a lot of people don't know about. And so when Ricky told me about this, he's like, I have a script for this film about, you know, cowboys and horseback riding in the city of Philadelphia. I had the same reaction as anybody where I'm like, I gotta go find out about this because this is hilarious and weird and crazy. And so I read about it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is actually amazing. And so when I read the script, I was like, this is such a cool story and such a cool piece of history. And so for me, like, musical ideas and everything just started flying. Like, when I read it, I just felt so inspired by the story. And so my approach to the music was very much like, you know, conversational with Ricky. He gave me the script early on, like I said, and then he was sending me dailies as they were shooting, and it was just a lot of back and forth, a lot of ideas. That's kind of how we started with it.
You are using an orchestra for it, but you went for quite a small orchestra, and that sort of comes across in the music. There seems to be quite a light touch across the whole film. It's almost ethereal the way it's kind of embedded in there in some places as well. Do you just want to talk about sort of bringing that orchestra together and how you work with that?
Yeah, I think right off the bat, we really didn't want a big Hollywood orchestra sound, you know, like the giant Hans Zimmer sound. It obviously wasn't the right film for that. And so I kind of fell in love with this idea of when you have a lot of players in an orchestra, anybody's imperfections gets covered up by somebody else's, you know, 10 other people's playing, right? So
yeah.
And you could have an even extended conversation about community and people coming together to create something beautiful. That's kind of what an orchestra is. Like, the more people that you have together, the more sort of perfect it sounds. There's a beauty to like all of these imperfections together that's actually perfect. And so what I wanted to do was kind of remove players to the point where it was a little more exposed. I wanted to get a little bit more sort of grit and humanity out of the performances. And so I used probably like a third or even less players that you would use in a traditional Hollywood score. And it kind of accomplished a lot of what I was looking for, which was, like you said, there was like a kind of a lush ambience to things. And that's largely responsive to Ricky's filmmaking style. He's a very visceral, almost surreal, but also very gritty in his storytelling and his filming and everything. And so for me, the music kind of had to reflect that in having this sort of like lush, wide soundscape with these raw human performances over it. So there's a lot of like solo instruments, like solo trumpet and saw, musical saw. So with the orchestra, the same thing was with like the room we were in. I wanted it to be not in a big grand hall or a big scoring stage. I wanted it to be in what we ended up in was a converted church. And it's kind of a small room that still sounds cinematic, but it has kind of a slightly more intimate sound to it.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. You are not only the composer on this. I mean, when you look up on IMDb, you're also a music editor, orchestrator, score mixer. So regular kind of one-man army, I guess.
That's true. And I had to work all the hours of all those people too.
I'm guessing not getting paid the hours of all those people.
For some of them I was, other ones it wasn't, but it's, you know, it was a blast regardless.
I mean, I guess that's quite nice as well, because you get more control over how the music goes into the project, particularly, I mean, if you're working closely with the director anyway. If you're doing all those jobs, you've got a little bit more of a handle on where things go, I guess.
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, I feel like there's a beauty to having a team in terms of like, I'm writing this music and it's an idea I have and I've put it on paper and it's, at that point, it's literally just an idea. And then you take it to these musicians and suddenly they're putting their personality into it. And I always tell the musicians I work with, I'm like, you know, this music is now us. It's not just me. And it's, we're all part of this thing that we're making come alive together. And the same thing with the team. Like when I work with my assistant or other people that can come on board, they all put their like little twists and things into what they do. And there's a lot of people I work with that I like what they do in particular, that they just sort of add to it sort of unsolicited. Mm-hmm. And I really, really like that. I think that when I get too much control, I can be a bit too, I don't know what the word is, but I just overthink it.
Right. Yeah.
Analysis paralysis, they say.
Yes. Yes. I get that. I get that totally. There are some intense moments in this as well. So that obviously requires a bit more than some of the kind of more ethereal stuff that you're getting in some of the softer scenes. I believe you used some interesting percussion instruments to get those sort of bigger noises in there.
Yeah. I was kind of inspired by, there's a scene where two of the characters are running through this tunnel and there's just some garbage off in the distance on the ground. And I was like, you know, it'd be really cool to take some of the aesthetic that you see in the film and turn these everyday objects into instruments and use them. And what sounds, you know, more aggressive than banging drumsticks on a piece of sheet metal and buckets? And so that's what I did. I went out and got some beer bottles and some buckets and some sheet metal and fry pans. And then my friend James McAllister got me hooked on this. You can get these like vintage metal light switch covers. And when you get like 10 or 15 of these things and start hitting them all, they all have a different sound. And so I use that in a few different cues, kind of tucked in underneath, that just sounds like this very abstract, you know, there's not really like a nationality or any sort of like thing you could say that this sounds like, but it's percussive and it's really kind of fun to put in different scenes like that.
Yeah, I love weird instruments, that sort of stuff when people are scoring things, that, you know, there's some wonderfully strange things that people use out of there. Were there any other kind of slightly odd, more obscure traditional instruments in there or any other stuff like that?
I use a musical saw, which was surprisingly really hard to find. Like I went through my normal channels of asking different people like, hey, do you know somebody who plays musical saw? And everyone from like my orchestrator to the guy who like coordinates all of the musicians I use to friends and even online researchers, I couldn't find anything until a friend of mine was like, oh, hey, I know a guy who out in New York. And so I still haven't met him, but his name is Olivier Manchun. I hope I'm not butchering his last name. He's French. He's a wonderful guy. He did all the saw, the musical saw, and it was super fun. Like I'd send him these pieces and we talk about it a little bit and then he send it back and it was like perfectly amazing for what I was looking for. And it's also kind of a cool process of just getting to like work over the internet with people that you don't meet, but you're collaborating together.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, are musical saws, are they specifically made to be musical saws then, or are they just like saws that people then use? Are they a specific instrument?
That's a good clarifying point. So a musical saw is an actual like old school metal saw for cutting trees that's, you know, long and has a handle, and you put it between your legs and as you bend it, it changes the pitch while you're running a violin bow across it.
Right. Yeah.
And so these people have like mastered playing these things and bending them and, you know, becoming virtuosos with these really obscure instruments. But a lot of what I was doing with the saw and a lot of the, you know, melodic content was I wanted a very simple approach to everything. It's a very musically simple score and I wanted it to be that way.
Something like a musical saw is also seems quite appropriate for a film like this, because there's a certain amount of kind of industrialness to it and it also being a little bit cowboy as well. So, you know.
Well, and the fact that you know, there's a horse in a house and it's like,
yeah,
you got to have something weird, right? Like that's kind of odd.
Yeah, totally. No, I think it completely fits. Did you have a particular favorite scene to score in the film?
Probably when Harp has Cole over to his house for the first time. So Harp is played by Idris Elba and his son, Cole, played by Caleb McLaughlin, comes over to his house for the first time. Caleb's kind of like, where am I? This is all new and different and odd and scary. And he ends up falling asleep on his dad's couch. And there's a cue that I wrote for that I kind of implemented throughout the film. And it was one of those cues that just sort of came pretty naturally and quickly. And I just really enjoyed writing that piece. And I also really enjoyed taking taking that and implementing it, into the very last few and several others throughout the film.
Yeah, so it's a lovely scene that as well, because he's very much no idea what's going on. And he's just kind of met a horse in a house, and it's all very weird. We mentioned beforehand, this is your first sort of narrative film, but you've done documentaries before. Is there a huge difference to you when approaching those two types of projects?
Yeah, it's funny. I get asked that a lot, and I don't feel like there is too much. I feel like each project has a different musical need. And so obviously my approach is going to be different if I'm doing electronic or jazz or classical or whatever it is. And I try to get into a different headspace each time, so I'm not doing the same thing twice. Mm-hmm. But as far as like music to picture, music to story, I feel like my job is kind of the same every time. And it's to enhance the emotional undertone of the story and bring out what people are feeling. A friend of mine that I used to work for, who's a brilliant composer, told me that he said music tells the viewer what the characters are feeling while the dialogue tells the viewer what the characters are thinking. And so I felt like I kind of took that into my career, just feeling like we all have been telling stories since the dawn of time as human beings. And we started putting music into it when we could. And it just elevates things in a really cool way. And regardless of whether the story is true or not, my goal kind of feels the same, which is just to make the story as compelling as possible.
Yeah, that makes total sense. It's a really interesting way of looking at it. The film is out probably by the time this interview goes out, it will be out on Netflix. It's a really wonderful movie. What else are you working on? Have you got any upcoming things you can talk about?
Well, first of all, thank you for the kind words on the film. That's really cool to hear. For the future, I'm going to be working on a documentary later this year called Between the Rains. And it's a documentary about these two Kenyan tribes who have been at war with each other for decades over water supply.
Wow.
And it follows a young boy from one of the tribes who's being raised to be a warrior because they have these ongoing wars. It deals with global warming a little bit, just with water supply diminishing and coming back. And it's really, really beautifully shot. I got to see some of the clips so far, and it's directed by my friend Andrew Harrison Brown, who I worked for on a documentary called Kafaru in 2019. And that will be released next year.
That sounds really interesting. Do you know where is that going for festivals and stuff, or is that released on a streamer? Do you know any of that?
Yeah, Between the Rains will be going into the festival circuit in the fall. So we're going to try and wrap it up before fall.
Okay, awesome. Last couple of questions for you. First question is, what TV shows are you watching at the moment?
Well, my wife and I just finished Breaking Bad for the third time, mm-hmm. which I absolutely love that show. I think it's probably one of the greatest TV shows of all time.
Yes.
And I think that the score by Dave Porter is just so brilliant. It's so different every episode and just so well crafted and executed.
Yeah, I love that show. We're doing a podcast at the moment where we did the first season. We've got the second season to do. So I'm sort of rewatching it, and then we're talking about it as well as on a show. So it's really fun doing that. But I love that show. It's one of the best TV shows ever made.
I agree.
And the last question is, if you had the opportunity to work on any TV show, can be something from the past, something in the present, or some sort of future genre, which show would it be?
Well, I guess now I have to say Better Call Saul, right?
Well, yes, of course.
Yeah, either that or some sort of like they make a second Breaking Bad movie.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I really, I really want to work on my wife wouldn't be too happy about me saying this, but I really want to work on a horror film. I think it'd be so fun just because of the obscure instruments you can use on horror films are just, it's just a free for all.
Yes, I can imagine your wife's face filled with horror as your house fills up with really odd instruments. Yeah, but yes, horror films always strike me as something which for a composer must be amazing amounts of fun to work on.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you for chatting with me. It's been lovely. I love the movie, and I hope people go out and watch it on Netflix. Hopefully we can talk again in the future at some point.
Great. Thanks, David.
Cheers. Bye.